From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Joshua, taking as his text verse 7 of chapter 18. At this point in the book, the army of Israel, under Joshua's leadership, had completed the conquest of the land of Canaan. Although pockets of resistance still remained, the tribes of Israel had been given their particular portions of the land by the casting of lots. The one exception to this was the tribe of Levi. Our text in verse 7 says, "But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance." As Dr. Cairns has explained, the Levites represented the soul of the nation. Their presence among the children of Israel was to be a constant lesson that the most important of all the nation's blessings was not material, but spiritual. Israel had much to do in settling the land and making it their own. Yet, as Dr. Cairns points out, even legitimate duties can crowd out preeminent spiritual concerns, the first of which is the salvation of the soul. As we'll see, in the pursuit of daily responsibilities, Christians must maintain close fellowship with God through Bible reading and prayer. Then, believers must make sure their influence upon others is godly. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message called The Price and Privilege of Serving Christ. First, please listen to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon.
The text for today is found in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 8. "I will give thee for a covenant of the people." Jesus Christ is Himself the sum and substance of the covenant, and as one of its gifts, He is the property of every believer. Believer, canst thou estimate what thou hast gotten in Christ? In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Consider that word God and its infinity, and then meditate upon perfect man and all his beauty. For all that Christ, as God and man, ever had or can have is thine, out of pure free favor, passed over to thee to be thine entailed property forever. Our blessed Jesus, as God, is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. Will it not console you to know that all these great and glorious attributes are altogether yours? Has He power? That power is yours to support and strengthen you, to overcome your enemies, and to preserve you even to the end. Has He love? Well, there is not a drop of love in His heart which is not yours. You may dive into the immense ocean of His love, and you may say of it all, "It is mine." Hath He justice? It may seem a stern attribute, but even that is yours. For He will, by His justice, see to it that all which is promised to you in the covenant of grace shall be most certainly secured to you. And all that He has as perfect man is yours. As a perfect man, the Father's delight was upon Him. He stood accepted by the Most High. O believer, God's acceptance of Christ is thine acceptance. For knowest thou not that the love which the Father set on a perfect Christ, He sets on thee now? For all that Christ did is thine. That perfect righteousness which Jesus wrought out, when through His stainless life He kept the law and made it honorable, is thine and is imputed to thee. Christ is in the covenant. My God, I am thine. What a comfort divine! What a blessing to know that the Savior is mine! In the heavenly Lamb thrice happy I am, and my heart it doth dance at the sound of His name.
Jesus, name of wondrous love, name
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs, made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Thank you.
The Levites represented the soul of the nation. They carried a message to the tribes about true spirituality, and they carry that same message to the Israel of God today. In addition, they will speak to us very clearly about the costs and the conditions of full surrender to the Lord. So as we focus our attention on this one tribe and the special arrangements God made to exclude them from possessions that the other tribes had, but giving them his own special possessions and inheritance, let's think of the price and privilege of serving the Lord. As I pondered this, it struck me that the most important of all our blessings are not material but spiritual. The Lord knew that the children of Israel would find that a very difficult thing to remember. He knew that here was a people coming into the land. They had to deal with the last scattered remnants of opposition. They had to subdue them. They had to subdue the land. They had to cultivate the land. They had to set about the job of building their cities and making their defenses strong. They had many, many things to do in the material realm. And the Lord was fully aware that it's very natural for man to have the stress of such a life dampen their spiritual zeal. And the Levites scattered throughout the tribes were the Lord's reminder constantly to look beyond the immediate and see the eternal. It is still true, you know, that the pressures of life inexorably pull the people of God down spiritually. Even the things that are legitimate. We need to learn the lesson that the Levites, by their very presence, were intended to convey to the ancient Israelites that the most important blessings we have are not material but spiritual. There are things more important than earthly possessions or earthly occupations. The salvation of your soul, is that not more important than anything else in this world? The salvation of your soul is infinitely more important than any consideration of life. There is absolutely nothing. And I want you to understand there are no exceptions. There is absolutely nothing in this entire world with which you are ever called to deal that is as remotely important to you as the salvation of your soul from sin, from death, and from hell. Never forget it. And if you are a Christian, there is nothing more important to you than your fellowship with God. when you feel things pulling you away from the place of prayer, however legitimate those things are, remember they are becoming a snare to your soul. To maintain that fellowship with God, to walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, knowing the glory of God brightly shining upon your way, knowing what it is day by day to enter into the holiest, to meet with your Savior face to face, to open His Word and have Him speak to your soul, to cast your burdens upon Him, to know direction for your life, to have the empowerment of His Spirit for your service. I tell you, this is vital for the Christian. More important than job or profits, more important than pleasures or leisures. This, for a Christian, is vital. You know, when you stop to think of this, you can succeed in every other thing in life. If you're a Christian, you'll be as miserable as you can be unless you're living in fellowship with God. If you tell me today that you can live happily out of fellowship with God, then I'm here to tell you that you're not a Christian. A backslider's a miserable specimen. A man who knows the Lord and yet he's walking at a distance from God without the sweetness and the blessing of fellowship, that man's as miserable as sin, and he'll make not only himself miserable but everything and everybody else about him miserable. Well, I remember my sister telling me years ago, as a Christian, she had lost out with God, lost the joy of the Lord. She was married and still is to a very gracious man. A very saintly man, and he loved the Lord, walked closely with God. And she said there's nothing drove her to more madness than to see his godliness. Every time he exhibited grace, it was a stab at her conscience and heart. It wasn't until God broke her heart and got her on her knees that she could live with herself. And being a Cairns, I would say maybe that anybody else could live with her. Isn't it true? When God saves you, He makes you for fellowship with Him. That's the great thing about being a Christian. You're made for fellowship with the God of glory. Your heart has a capacity that it never had before, a capacity for communion with the infinite God. The things that thrill the heart are not the mere passing stimuli of time. They are the great things of grace and of eternity. And if you're not enjoying those things, you'll be miserable and wretched. Oh, let nothing pull you down from the high plane of fellowship with God. Your influence on others, it's more important than anything else in this world that you're going to deal with. Say you make $1 million today. So what? If your influence has no power for God, how true it is that none of us lives to himself. Every one of us leaves a trail of influence, whether we will or whether we would rather not. We leave a trail of influence. Job asked the question, man dieth and giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Dr. Paisley preaches a great sermon on that. I've heard him preach it at funerals many a time. Where is he? As to his body, he's in the grave. As to his soul, he's in God's eternity. As to his influence, he is still here. What can be of greater concern to a Christian than his influence? Some of us, we say we're going to heaven, but there's nothing about us to help anybody else to heaven. I have known people who say they're saved, and everything about their lives would lead people down to hell. That came home to me very, very strongly when I was just a very young man, and I went out into a business in Belfast for a couple of years before the Lord called me into the ministry. And I went into that business, I knew that my manager was a Christian. He told me so. And it was obvious from his life. My immediate boss was a Christian. He told me so. And a good and decent man, but not much of a public testimony. When I went into the office, the particular office in the business, I of course knew nobody. But I went in having taken a vow before God that I was going to be a witness from the very first opportunity I got. And since most of the people in the office were females, at my age, I've never really got over this, you know, but at my age, I was scared stiff of them. I'd rather have had men around there. At least you could fight with a man if you needed to, but these young women scared me stiff. It's hard to speak to them. But when the opportunity came, I witnessed. Then I discovered I wasn't the only Christian in the office. There was a young woman who had worked there for quite a number of years. Nobody ever knew she was a Christian. Nobody. There'd never been one word of gospel witness. There'd never been one invitation to a gospel service. There'd never been one piece of gospel literature. No influence for God, but a very plain influence for the world. Wonder if you're like that today. You know, it's possible for a Christian, just as the Lord knew it was possible for Israel, it's possible for a Christian to become so engrossed in things that he looks on people merely as tools or instruments to the end of achieving those things, and he forgets he's dealing with immortal souls. And his influence on those souls is something so important that God is going to hold him responsible for it. Very early this morning, I was reading in the 33rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And while I recognize Ezekiel's case as the watchman to Israel, is not exactly a parallel with that of the individual Christian and people with whom he comes in contact. Nonetheless, there's a message. I have made you a watchman. What is the duty of the watchman? It's to watch. It's to see things that other people don't see. It's to warn them diligently. It's to be a witness. That's the work of the watchman. Your influence on others is a very vital thing, more important than the things of this life. You bring that down to your own family particularly. It's often said salvation doesn't run in the blood in the sense of running. We would say maybe today running in the genes. It doesn't come genetically from father to mother. That's true. But God normally deals in families. Look at your Bible. I believe you'll find that the covenants of God focus on families. The promises to you and to your children. God has not given his people up to potluck when it comes to seeing their children saved. We have a promise to claim before God, and we should do it.
been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.